Land.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry. And it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA, Executive Tracker Pro, is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is your host with the most, Jim Stroud, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Recruiter's Lounge. Sitting beside me, looking as lovely as she's ever going to get, Karen Mack.
Oh, hi, Jim. How are you doing? I can't believe that.
That's actually a compliment, if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess. I get old, but it gets a little old, don't you think?
Yeah, okay, I won't say it anymore.
Oh, you will.
Okay. Yeah, I sure will. But
you will. That's okay.
I won't say it on the air anymore. I'll just say it in public. And then in person, in private, whatever I'm saying.
Oh, you'll say it on the air. You'll never say it in private. Don't let them believe. Hey, people, he's lying. Okay? He really is, okay? So, would you quit lying to our audience, please?
I think our audience knows me well enough now to know I am. Just kidding.
Hey, guess what? I mean, I just noted today on your site that something big was happening.
Yes, I'm quite proud of it.
You should be, man. I saw that. I was like, no wonder you haven't been talking to me a long time, man. I've missed you.
Well, I told you I was kind of busy. Let me tell people what we're talking about in case they're oblivious. I recently released Resume Forensics, which is a book that teaches people how to use the Internet to find resumes and passive candidates online. Show you how to use Yahoo, Google, and Live to find resumes. I'll show you how to automate some of that and a few other nice things that are in there. And I am blessed to say that a lot of people have found it interesting. It is a free download, and you can get your free copy while supplies last, so to speak, which is kind of funny since it's a digital product. The address is therecruiterslounge.com/RF. And I'll say it again, therecruiterslounge.com/RF. And what I want you to do, if you download it, please fill out the survey. There's a link inside of it. Because that will help me make the next version of Resume Forensics, which will be coming out later this year, that much better for you.
Now, is that R as RS as in Sam or RF as in Frank?
That's RF as in Resume Forensics.
Okay, now I got to tell you people, this book is really quite good, and it's really, really worth it. And I got to tell you, there's a company out there. I think really, really could use that.
Which company might that be, I ask, as if I don't know?
Oh, well, there was a recent article that a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, I should say, had written. And his name is Nick Crocodilius.
Oh, that's the Ask the Headhunter guy.
He is an amazing guy. I mean,
great newsletter he puts out.
Now, Nick, I hope I didn't butcher your name, but I got to tell you, when I read this, it was absolutely priceless.
It was somewhat amusing and a little touchy, I guess, depending on if you work for that company or not.
Well, let me explain this to some of the readers, and I'm going to go ahead by reading a simple letter that was that Nick received from this particular company called The Ladders, okay? Hi, Nick. I'm a recruiter at theLatters.com, and I'm working on many internal hires, and our company and business is growing quickly. Yes, I had the exclamation marks.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm currently recruiting for a full-time staff resume writer position. Okay.
Resume writer.
Right, a resume writer. For Nick, this is for Nick.
He is not a resume writer,
okay,
but
yeah.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, our resume services are a successful and growing line or SIC our business, and we're at a point where we're looking to strengthen our team. Your name came up in a conversation as a talented resume writer who really knows the industry. Will you consider a full-time opportunity at theLatters.com? I have attached a copy of the job description. Let me know if this is an opportunity you'd be interested in. Thank you, name deleted recruiter, theLatters.com.
Well, I'm glad he didn't mention that recruiter's name because that recruiter probably would be in trouble.
I know, because, I mean, that's – okay, I'm serious, but I receive these from Google all the time.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I give them at least 5 or 6 times a year. Now, most people know that I don't like – I'm not a fan of Google.
Yeah, people who listen to this podcast probably know that.
Now, like Nick says, okay, and now Nick himself, he's not a fan of job boards either, okay? But he makes a really good point in this aspect of regards to, I'm going to quote Nick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He quoted Mark Senadella, which says in his one of his email updates to his clients, look, people, don't get to the 100,000-plus level by making rookie mistakes like this. Now, he's saying here, look, people are paying the Ladders exclusive and premium services to help land a $100,000 job
right.
When the company recruits for its own positions by sending out a mass email to a person who doesn't even write resumes?
Yeah.
I'm here, by the way.
That's kind of And again, what Nick does, he has a newsletter called Ask the Headhunter, and you email him for job hunting advice and career advice, and he gives you some really good information based on that.
I mean, and this is his stuff is like on Forbes or Fortune, by the way. I mean, this guy is so well known for this. I mean, he has books and everything else, and he's noted not liking job boards, and it's places like the Ladders. And like he said too, if you're a company, would you even want to pay the employer? As an employer, would you want to even pay for somebody to trust them to recruit for you when you know that they are recruiting for their own selves like this?
Yeah, I guess his point is you would think they would at least do a little bit of due diligence. But you know what? It's sort of I'm going to try to argue both sides of the fence here, okay?
Okay, you're going to have to do a good job of this because I get really pissed off when I see a canned email from Google saying they saw my resume on Monster or a job board, and I'm like, where? I don't even have a resume on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, this is how I'm arguing both sides of the fence here.
Okay.
Because I can see, for the record, I see Nick's point of view. But to be fair, I want to argue both sides. Now, from the company standpoint, we don't know if this recruiter is a employee of the Ladders or if he...
Well, he is.
He is
an employee of Ladders.
Oh, employee or a contract. I mean, you never know.
It says recruiter at theLatters.com, so they're representing themselves as an employee of the Ladders.
Oh.
So whether you're on a contract, you're still by law, you're an employee.
Okay.
If you got a Ladders email address, you're an employee. Even though they want to call you a contractor, hey, they're an employee.
Okay. All right, well, that shoots that one down. Another one is, another defense could be that maybe they saw, they misread some information online, and they were looking for, they did a Google search for something, and his name came up in relation to resume writing, and this person did not read it properly. So it could have just been an innocent mistake on that case. And I say that because I know from a former employee that I used to work with, that they sent an email to someone who was a Microsoft hater.
Mm-hmm.
That shows the company I worked for at the time. Over at Microsoft, and one of our contractors sent an email to someone who is a Microsoft hater, and he took that email and just made a big stink of it all in the blogosphere, and it was quite interesting.
And I agree with that. Okay, now.
But to Nick's point, and I am more, it's sort of hard to argue against it, although I'm trying. It wouldn't take much to just to do a quick due diligence search, and if they just look, if they found his email address, they could have just went to Ask the Headhunter and saw that he had a number one selling book on Amazon in multiple languages in different countries. I mean, it would take like a few seconds to do that, so I can sort of see his angst in getting this kind of form email because it seems sort of impersonal, especially to his argument where you're recruiting for people who want six-figure jobs.
Are you taking over my training class from me now?
Gee, do you have a training class coming up, Karen?
No, I mean, seriously, that's exactly what I talk about, training class in regards to personal. You're right. I mean, let's get real, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, first off, you're talking about the most important aspect of a person's life, your job. I know you're going to go say, no, the family's more important. I got to tell you, honey, I'll bet you that your wife will never be around or she wouldn't be around for a very long time if you didn't have a job.
Love will go a long way, but you're probably right.
Absolutely. Especially if you're going out and she kept coming home from a hard day of work and all she kept seeing you was scratching your butt watching Oprah.
I wouldn't be watching Oprah. I would be scratching my butt.
But let's just say hypothetically, I'm sorry. So the most important part of what we define ourselves is our job. And recruiters, well, go ahead. And by the way, this one says, oh, your name came up in a conversation as a talented resume writer?
Yes, it comes across as especially.
Oh, I mean, first off, that was a lie. Like, first of all, when they send me from Google, we saw your resume online. You did not see my resume online. My resume has a never, capital N-E-V-E-R, never, exclamation points behind all of that and in front, okay? Never been online. And I laugh when Google, I mean, and by the way, why would Google want to send me an invitation to work for them?
Because you have a reputation for being a...
Google hater?
An ethical recruiting person.
But I'm a Google hater.
But that's not always evident to people. I mean, if people listen to the podcast and heard you go on your rants about it, then they'll say, yeah, but you can't assume that every recruiter... you can't assume that a recruiter who comes across your name is going to go through the due diligence of listening to every podcast.
But I write about it. There's, like, more posts on so many public sites that I've written about being a Google hater.
But if they come across your name as a recruiter, and that's all they see, they may say, okay, this is Karen. She's a recruiter. She's talking about her industry and whatever. Let me just give her an email real quick and see how she's doing. That's not always a good argument because you can't always expect a recruiter to do a 360-degree view of one person when they have so many recs to fill and so many people to talk to.
Well, okay. So, well, then let's...
But to Nick's case, I don't think that applies to his case at all.
I mean, okay, first off, if you're going to be looking for a resume writer and you're only looking for one person, then to pick up the phone and call the person is not that dang hard. I'm sorry. And number two, Dick, you said doing due diligence and research. And number three, don't lie in the email. There's the point I'm saying. Don't lie in the email. Number four, don't recruit the person in an email. You don't know who that person is, what that person wants. How about first off saying, hey, look, I may be interrupting your busy day. I didn't want to call you. But guess what? You know what? I heard about you. I heard that maybe you were connected in the industry. Maybe you might not be interested in the position, but maybe you know someone who is. Would you be willing to help me out? See how that is? It's a little bit more courteous, don't you think?
Well, one thing I used to do was that I would cite where I found their information. Like I'll say, hey, I saw you on LinkedIn,
but
or hey, I saw your resume.
You still wouldn't try
here's
to
the link that I found it on. This is why I'm contacting you, because I found this information in this spot. What do you think? Can we talk?
Yeah, well, but you wouldn't try to recruit them at that spot. I mean, that to me is also another, excuse the expression, retarded recruiter move. Okay? It is like the behindest, slowest, dumbest recruiting move in ever.
I wouldn't.
It is.
There's dumber things you can
person.
Do. There's always something dumber you can do.
No, that's one of them, okay? But you don't know the person. You don't know if the person wants to consider moving. You don't know if the person just got a raise, got promoted, or if that person is going to leave the industry, whatever. And by the way, if that person says no, you know you're going to go up and say, well, okay, you said no, but could you go ahead and help me with your friends? Okay, duh.
So all that to say is best to, the first contact should be only to introduce yourself.
You can ask them if they, you know, look, you might not be interested. Maybe you are. Let's get to know each other, find out if you might be interested, might not be interested, or if you have friends who will be. Say that from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's honest. And guess what? It works.
You don't have to scream it.
I'm sorry, I jumped up, too. You should have seen me.
I know you did.
I jumped about 2 feet.
At least.
It's that Bajan in me. It's the Caribbean in me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
I'm the island girl, you know?
Yeah, I know.
All right, I'm sorry. Wait. We had an agenda, didn't we?
I don't know, did we?
I think so. I think I overran on that agenda, man.
That's okay. That's okay. That's it was a good point, though, because I know that a lot of recruiters use templates. I mean, and I've used templates in my past as well, but the thing is, you have to adjust it for every situation.
And you know what's so funny? Because I honestly did not think I was going to be compassionate. This was going to be a boring conversation.
It's never boring with you, Karen.
I realized that because I thought, okay, this is not going to be. I realized that because, seriously, I actually told Jim before we got on this call, I said, okay, I guess I'll be mellow on this one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this really does. And I mean, and the part that gets me, too,
what?
And I love what Nick was saying, though. You know, it's like he's, because he's not fond for job boards at all.
No.
And I mean,
I know that because I skimmed through some of his stuff prior to the call.
But there's something that he discussed as well that I think he didn't hit too hard on that kind of got to me as well. Because now, for example, let's let people know, I do not use job boards. I have had opportunities for free months on several of the big job boards because they keep trying to get me.
Right.
Okay? Because I have written for so long that I am not an advocate for job boards. I will not use job boards. Do not believe in that.
Would you tell job seekers not to use a job board?
I tell my job seekers not to use job boards, yes.
Why?
Because of their privacy.
It depends on what they put on their information.
Whatever.
There are sites you can go and...
Do you know how easy it is for me to go ahead and...
Let's see, from a job seeker, just put a job seeker hat on. If I were to put my resume on Monster, per se, and if I had issues about my privacy, then I would just be very selective of what I put on the resume. I would just put maybe my name, if that much, an email address, and instead of even, maybe not even listing the actual company, but say it's a Fortune 500 company that's dealing in X.
Mm-hmm.
So, or you can use sites like, used to be Marketing, JobFox, which allows a job seeker to be totally anonymous. And there's also a site called...
there should be more like that, by the way. There are a couple...
And you got... do you know about Emerce, by the way?
Yes, I heard. And there's a couple websites, that are out there definitely that are dedicated to help with the privacy of candidates. But
right.
I still tell candidates that they should not consider doing it if they can avoid it. And I try to give them a little help as to a suggestion as what they can do to help present themselves.
Okay, now what would you tell a job seeker to do if you, besides putting their information in a...
I teach them what recruiters do themselves. I mean, if I can't help the job seeker, especially to one thing I tell them to do is never tell a recruiter where they're looking, ever. Never, 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 never tell a candidate recruiter. If the recruiter says, which they always do, please tell me where you're looking and who else you're interviewing with so we don't duplicate your efforts. No, that's not why they're telling you that. You know why they're telling you that? It's so that they could go ahead and try to submit their candidates to those companies.
Not every recruiter does that. There are some who, sure, but not everyone. Some recruiters, let me argue back and forth, stop sticking your tongue out there. What some recruiters are doing by asking that question is that they want to make sure that they're not sending the same person.
You know what? You know how I get around that?
I know, but.
Ask the question. If I don't ask the question, let me tell you what I do.
Go ahead.
It's very simple, and I tell the candidates they could do this.
What?
I got a job, and it's at Microsoft. No, you know what, Karen? Thank you very much. I'm not interested. That's it.
So from you, you'd rather tell a job seeker to say, hey, recruiter, tell me where you...
Yeah, they need to.
I'll tell you if I need it. I want it.
You must know where that recruiter is going to send you at all times before they send you and take charge of your career because you don't want your resume to be sent out to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, especially to places you've already interviewed because it can hurt your chances. Be in control of your resume, your data, and your career.
How many job seekers do that?
Well, when they become educated, a lot do.
But majority of do not.
No, because they don't become educated on this.
Well,
I have on my website some rules and stuff for candidates for them to try to abide by. I try to tell them. It's like I give them this kind of like your holy grail. This is 10 things that you should know on how to protect yourself from unscrupulous recruiters. Recruiters are there to make money, and they're to make money on you. But they're also going to make as much money as they can. And that's all they worry about is making their quota.
You mean they don't care about the job seeker?
There's some who do. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a good recruiter, and I like to believe I care for the job seeker. And that's why I train people on this as much as I can as well. And there's a lot of people out there, too, who I do think are ethical and are good recruiters. They are. So when I was going, I'm sorry for the ones I may have insulted, because there are some good ones. But unfortunately, We've got an industry that is easily penetrated. That all it needs takes for you to become a recruiter is a pocket full of quarters and a payphone. In fact, in this day and age, all you got to do is go steal a cell phone and steal a laptop, and you can call yourself a recruiter.
Which goes back to one of our endless arguments back and forth about why the recruiting industry is not regulated. I know it's one of your pet peeves.
I think it should be self-regulated.
Self-regulated, yes. Because you do have a negative reputation for people. A lot of people think that you want government to step in.
No.
And your argument is that government should not step in, that we should self-regulate ourselves.
Right. My argument is that they're already there. They're already stepping in. Okay? We just got classified. The employment industry last year was considered the 14th worst or most complained about industry by the FTC last year.
What number were we before that? We were like at 300, and now we're at what?
14.
We are a big hit. Recruiting industry is a big hit, rather.
So the thing, we're in the 300s, and I'm like, okay, so this is getting worse, and we know the radar is getting more and more on us, especially in regards to privacy.
Mm.
Well, I don't want government regulation. I don't want some idiot who doesn't know anything about how hard it is as a recruiter, and I'm saying the word idiot loosely, please, because they're not idiots, okay? I don't want some guy who knows nothing about recruiting and how hard it is a job to do to tell me how much paperwork I need to file every day.
Yeah, I would hate to get into a paper trap like that.
Yeah, because we used to be regulated. A lot of recruiters don't know this industry used to be regulated. They think it'll never happen. Hey, and
how long ago was that? That was before my time.
Some states are still regulated.
Really?
Oh, it was in the 80s.
Okay, the states that are regulated, give me a big picture view of what life would be like under a regulated recruiting industry.
It depends on all different states. Some states say you have to have paperwork, and they still don't. It depends, because some states aren't very stringent about it, but New York and New Jersey, for example, were getting really strict. For example, a big one. In New York, or was that New Jersey? Please forgive me, I'm not sure.
One of the above.
They said straight up, if you were to do a placement in their state, but you were not licensed in their state, and your client didn't want to pay you, you don't get paid.
Ouch.
To me, that's like, and I think Nevada also is now doing that, had done that, and I think it was Wyoming that also did that. There's a lot of states that said, hey, you know, you don't got a license in this state as a recruiter, you're not regulated in this state, you don't get paid, dude.
Is that in relation to, like, unions?
No, nothing to do with unions. Another thing would be, for example, you go ahead and send a candidate out for a job interview. This is most states, by the way, though,
right.
Okay? You send a candidate out for a job interview, and the job interview does not exist. There's not really a job. Not only do you pay for the trip yourself, you have to pay for his time gone. You have to pay for all his expenses.
Wait a minute. So it's like hiring a consultant in a sense, or
no,
bringing a consultant on. If you had to pay his expenses.
No, it's against. What I'm saying is, it's against the law. A lot of people don't realize this.
Okay, so wait a minute. Okay, let me backtrack here, because I can hear a lot of alarm bells going on in certain people's heads.
Please.
Okay, now say I have. Let's call it a dummy rack.
You don't have a dummy rack.
Okay,
you can't have dummy racks.
Okay, well, let's just say if I did. Not then saying. Wait for it. All right, say I have a dummy rack, and I know that I'm always going to need people who fit a certain qualification. I may not necessarily need them right this very moment, but 9 times out of 10, I can always place somebody who is, say, a Java guru. So I'm always looking for Java gurus, because I have stations all over the world, and I can always place them. Always need Java people, never going to have enough. I may not have one at this very moment, but I know I have one tomorrow or next week, just a matter of time. So I'm going to put up a dummy rag and always put out there that I'm looking to hire this person, because I know at any given time I'm going to have a need to hire them. So what's wrong with doing that? Because I know
it's
I'm going to have a need.
It's fraudulent advertising.
How is it fraudulent when I know I'm going to place them eventually?
Because you don't have a job for it. Unless you're honest and say, hey, we may have a future need. Please send a resume for future need. The job is not open now. If you say that, then it's not fraudulent.
Oh.
Here's the choice. You've got two options. Either don't do it or put the truth on there.
All right, so if I put up there that I'm looking for potential opportunities in the near future.
Or
future opportunities?
Future needs. Well, I have future needs. You know,
I've never seen a job. I would like to see that, but I've never seen that before.
You never have, and you probably never will, because people are dishonest. But here's the right thing for candidates to know. Guess what? You just went on an interview with a client, and the job really isn't open, and it's not going to be open for another couple months.
Wow.
The recruiter knew. See, like, if I knew this and I didn't tell the candidate, I have sent candidates out on interviews when I said, look, the job is not going to be open for another couple months, but they are looking at having candidates kind of come in and check it out. You know, it's up to you to decide if you want to interview. I've done that to candidates and told them the truth. But what happens is if you don't tell the candidate the truth and you got the candidate going, the client then happens to slip it out or he overhears it or whatever. And guess what? You, as a recruiter, and you, the company, are both co-conspirators.
How?
Especially if you knew.
Okay, how often does that happen? And for two, how could a job seeker even follow up on that if the recruiter doesn't make a mistake or that someone on the company site doesn't mistake
and say it? Okay, A, I don't know how often it happens. And for all the people who think, if you don't know, then it doesn't happen, no. Because I'm not going to go around telling everybody in the world that I got sued.
Right.
A lot of lawsuits are not public. A lot of this stuff will not become public. And because people are not going to go ahead and advertise it, and a lot of people settle. The reason they settle is because they would rather not have to pay the expense of legal fees. So what does a job seeker do? They do like what I just talked about. They contact the FTC, and they contact the attorney generals, and they contact their Better Business Bureaus. That's how the FTC gets this information, too, by the way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they contact these associations because then they say, you know, I have a complaint. I don't know what to do. This seems like it really was hokey. What happened here? What are my rights? Better Business Bureau, for example, in New York, it does have this information on their site regarding recruiters. They have a nice little informative site on how to deal and what to do and where to work with recruiters in the state of New York.
Really?
Yes, they do.
Send me a link to that because I like to post that. I like to post that on the blog post.
Yeah, I remember putting that on and people were laughing. There was somebody who just like says I was finger wagging. I'm like, no. The reason they put this out is because there was enough concern and enough complaints for them to find out that, hey, out of all the industries in the world, hundreds and thousands, we need to educate our people how to deal with recruiters.
How scary is this to a lot of recruiters, you think, listening to the podcast right now?
I get really concerned when people say that this scares them.
Well, I mean, this is why I think it scares them. I think it scares them because they will have to learn a bunch of rules and regulations that they haven't done before. I think it's going to change the status quo. And if you are used to doing something, it's hard to change a habit.
You know, here's the deal. If it appears to be wrong, it seems like a lie, and it's not honest, then don't do it.
Not everyone has that kind of radar, maybe.
Oh, yes, we all.
Or maybe they just don't know.
We all have a
question. Okay, like the example of the dummy wreck. I mean, I know people do that. I mean, I know for a fact people do that, but they don't really see it as being wrong. It's just that, well, that's how they've always done it or been taught that way. So
here's a question. Why would bringing somebody in that was working in for an interview, having them risk their job, not be something that would go off in your mind as maybe this is unethical?
Because some people or some recruiters are so used to pushing papers around that they forget that those papers represent
people. Exactly. So here's the issue.
So it may not necessarily be an unethical thing. It just could be just a total mindset that they're just set in because they've been doing the job so long.
Well, okay, let me tell you, there's a very good friend of mine named George Lennart, and he had a comment to me that he made once before. It was perfect.
Mm.
He said, you know, if something seems unethical, you could be guaranteed that there's going to be an attorney out there who's going to find a way to make it illegal.
Because that's where the money is, right?
I got to tell you right now, that's so true. If something seems unethical with the laws as being as old as they are or whatever, I'm sure that there's definitely a way to make sure that it's illegal. People, it's common sense. You know, think about it. You got a candidate, and he's got a good job, and he's going to be asking him to go to an interview across the street, and his boss happens to drive by and see his car out there, and the job, by a chance, just wasn't a real job, and the candidate loses his job. Guess what? You're hell liable for that.
Yeah.
It's common sense. You are responsible for your actions when you are dealing with people's lives. And people have to take that recognition and accept it. You want to be a good recruiter, then listen to your gut. If it seems wrong, if it doesn't play right, if it doesn't feel comfortable. How would you feel if this was happening to you? You know, kind of a do unto others kind of a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what? Don't do it. And by the way, if you think that you might be okay with it, just remember that the majority of people is what you should gauge it by.
All very good advice and definitely a lot of food for thought. If you have any questions or comments or any kind of feedback whatsoever about the topics discussed here in the Recruiter's Lounge, feel free to give me a buzz or Karen an email.
I have to laugh. Okay, because he just buzzed me, too. It's like,
yes.
Quit. Enough.
You can reach me at Jim Stroud, at JimStroud, at JimStroud.com, or Karen at JimStroud.com, and I will get put in one day very soon the RecruitersLounge.com addresses because those should have been switched a long time ago. That's it for now. Any last fleeting comments? In 30 seconds or less?
Like I always say, just because you don't hear about the losses don't make it mean that they happen, okay?
Yes. And my last comment would be go see Iron Man because it rocked! But I digress. All right. Until next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, I'm Jim.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's JIMSTROUD.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Innovative Audio on Demand.